I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Great Big Owl.
What?
Great Big Owl.
Stop saying that. What about Great Big Owl?
It's a family of podcasts.
Ooh. Who's in this family?
Well, there's Rule of Three. That's us.
There's Brian and Roger.
Hi, Roger. It's Brian.
There's the One Show Show.
There's nowhere else you would find a 4 or 5 minute film about pine martins.
Yes.
Without a sight of one pine martin at all in the film.
There's Barry and Angelos.
Oh, Gooch, Gooch, Chooch. Yeah. Remember that lovely one?
And there's Smirsh Pod.
Could you eat first? I think we know.
Well, I know. I don't know if I want to eat Lazenby.
Basically, look for Great Big Owl on your pod. What's it?
Good idea. Have we got a sting?
Owls don't sting.
Great Big Owl.
Hello, I'm John Holmes, it's the One Show Show, and we are live from the 2019 London Podcast Festival! This is part two of this week's edition of the podcast that puts TV's The One Show in a headlock and gives the top of its head a good scrub with our knuckles. Part one of this week's EP dropped yesterday, so if you'd like this part two to make any kind of sense, why not go back and listen to that first? That won't make any sense either, but what do we know about sense? We watch the fucking One Show. Welcome then and enjoy as I'm joined by Mark Haynes and Feet Lover.
Yeah. And then we went back to talk about It Part 2 with James McAvoy.
You say talk about. This was a sort of major failing where both Matt and Alex forgot to ask him the next question. And McAvoy just had to do the whole interview to himself.
And at one stage he actually said, shall I just carry on talking?
Yes, he did.
I know, I felt like that until I found my group, my people that made me feel like it was all right to be different, you know?
Yeah.
And I really want to be a part of that. But I'll keep talking. conversation.
The first rule of an interview show.
Second rule of an interview show, don't have a horror star on and then say, I'm not watching the film, I do not get on with horror. So I've not watched it. He said, I was thinking, is it because it's a horror? Or is it because it's a film you're supposed to watch for the One Show? No, I don't do that. You know?
He's asked this question before of a guest, when he said, did it freak you out on set? Was it scary on set?
No, that's just a classic no-no, isn't it? I mean, yeah. They're actors. They're actors, yeah, Matt.
And James McAvoy just went,
no.
Yeah. Matt also said, he said, here's the bits I've seen, and they had a 20-second little clip of it. And then and that came back, and he looked actually nervous while he was on. So when they cut back, he was going, and then they cut back, and he went, wow, he said, and what a character you play. How would you know? Liar! Do you know what? He didn't once, and no one did it this week, nobody at any point said, what was it like, right? Now, we were talking earlier about this being the single most dull week of One Show Shows. What's it called? It's less than that, isn't it? That's our one. That's also dull. But One Show, it's been a really, really bland week, yep. And it's been so... And all I can think is, have they actually gone... They're doing a show at the end of this week, right? They're the only people who watch it. Shall we try and balls up their show? Because nobody has said, what is it like at the end of something?
Not one.
They do it 5 times an episode normally. Not once.
I was fully expecting to turn up here tonight to find nobody here because Matt had bought all the fucking tickets. and that was going to be that.
He looks a bit scared at the moment, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I think you have. I think you've properly...
We've affected him.
Yes, I think you have.
Worth saying, I thought of that. What was the next film that came after that? It was a film about people who had donated their time to reach out and help the survivors of Grenfell.
Yeah.
What are we going to do with that? Well,
no.
Turn it off.
Let's talk about Nick Knowles instead.
Yes.
Another before... national tragedy.
Before we talk about Nick Knowles on The One Show this week, let's remind ourselves, to be fair to him,
who is Nick Knowles?
Who is Nick Knowles? Well, he's one of the greatest singers of a generation.
Oh.
And his words have the power to stop war. Is making the whole world blind. When I Googled to find that video, the first thing that came up was a story that in January, Nick Knowles had an emergency operation and had to wear an eye patch. To stop war.
I found out in June 2019, Nick Knowles was issued with a six-month driving ban and fined £1,480 for speeding and using a mobile phone while driving. Now, that would mean he's halfway through that six-month ban. So if any of the next 3 months, if you see Nick Knowles in a car, grass him up to the police. And he will get a custodial sentence.
Which is the same as going to Blackburn, which is what he was doing. What did you make of this? This was a DIY project for children in need.
Yes, so it's just an opportunity for Matt to emote some more, isn't it, a film like that. But I was a bit intrigued at the end. Because I always assumed that there was just a conceit involved in DIY SOS, that they would always get it finished on time. But there seems to be a quite real possibility, because they asked if 40 builders could turn up, not even bother to get in touch and email first, which is very un-BBC.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never heard of a programme where you literally say, come on in, you pay the licence fee. So I'm not sure that this has a happy ending.
I think you're right, and you could tell because he was with his DIY SOS squad. And
they were doing fake reading, weren't they?
Yes.
When he came across to them, they were all doing fake reading, and they all just suddenly put their thing down. And again, that's too much of a conceit. They're not actors.
No.
I mean, I'm not surprised they need 40 builders if they're all just standing.
But you're right there. They seem genuinely concerned, and it's like Nick Knowles. Didn't know what they were going to say at all. He thought they were all sort of on the same side, but they were genuinely worried that this project wasn't going to work and all children would die.
Yes.
We've got a clip of it for a start. So I think. But what I wanted to say was, it's worth, and this won't work for podcast listeners, but it's worth checking out the desperation on the man on the right's face as he sort of reiterates to Nick Knowles that there's a problem.
For hotels around it. But the thing is, guys, we are DIY SOS. Are we downhearted?
Yes.
Very much.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, we are.
It's unusual. I know, but we are.
No, but we are.
No, seriously, fun's over. We're really downhearted about
this. Look, they're renovating a church hall for homeless youth. So if it doesn't get finished, you know, they're no worse off.
Yeah. You're very mean.
I'm a realist.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, can 40 builders turn up? Live in the real world.
It's all right though, because Nick can solve this. It's not going to be a problem. He's got this.
World divided. It's driven by greed. Where the poor misguided deliver us, children in need.
Deliver us children in need.
Yeah,
spooky.
They were all blind.
What kind of bloody standard are builders going to turn up? If you're out of work and you don't have a building project to work on, you're not the type of builder who should be building. Are you?
Can I just say as well, there was a little bit where Matt threw out to a thing about a Terry Wogan Award earlier in the week.
Oh, yeah.
And it was all tied in with children in need. And he said, at some point, he said, "You have been an inspiration." It was a weird way of doing it. And as it went on, the Alex Scott gave the Children in Need address, and she said, "So it's Children in Need, /giving/ Pugsy."
Pugsy.
Pugsy. Pugsy Bear. And again, everyone's just like, "That'll fucking do."
It's fine. And then with 50 seconds to go before the end of the programme, I would say James McAvoy put Matt very much ill at ease. Very much so. He was talking about a Scottish director.
Yeah.
Yep. Who'd visited his school, James McAvoy's school, when he was young. And James had asked him for work experience. And then 6 months later, the director, I'll let James tell us.
6 months later, he's making this really dark film about the underside of the Scottish pornography scene. And
they moved on pretty quick.
But also, Matt was in a very, very comfortable kind of laid-back sofa position when James started, and this is exactly what he did. So you be James and say what he said about the type of film.
Well, the director was making a film about the dark underbelly of the Scottish.
He did an amazing bit as well, so when James McAvoy...
Something to hide.
Right, we need to move on. Time is getting on. Wednesday's episode, now this was Matt and Mel Gidroy was on co-presenting. She's done it before.
Yeah, they always do a sketch when Mel is on, don't they?
Oh, yeah.
Someone is very much got her confused with French and Saunders. I don't think she's done a sketch since about 1995 when they were at Edinburgh. But every time she's on, they're like, well, we better get a sketch ready.
Yeah.
Do we have any sketch writers? No.
Yeah, well, Matt got to do a bit of business, a bit of acting for Matt. He likes a bit of acting. So this was, they were talking about the stage adaptation of Big, the Tom Hanks film that's coming to London. And they'd done a setup where they got the Zoltar machine from the film, if you've seen the film, that sort of brings your wishes come true stuff. And it's called Zoltar. We know that it's called Zoltar. It had it written on the front, Zoltar. And then Matt just said it wrong. Like this.
Ooh. Bit of atmosphere. And turns a little boy into Tom Hanks.
Shall we try it?
Yeah.
Zoltar, we'd like some guests to talk to tonight. What have you got for us?
Well, I was just writing Zoltar down as he said it. And then I looked up to where the director and the cameraman heard... were clearly pissed. Did you notice the crash, the horror style crash zoom into Mel's face?
No.
Okay.
Remind me.
I will.
Very excitingly, look who's arrived in our studio.
Oh yes.
This, my friends, is Zoltar. Fans of the classic film Big will recognise that name. It's the spooky, magical machine that grants wishes to those who ask. Ooh. Bit of atmosphere and turns a little boy into Tom Hanks.
Shall we try it?
Yeah.
Zoltar, we'd like some guests to talk to tonight. What have you got for us?
Your wish is granted. I foresee Kimberly Walsh and Matthew Kelly bringing wit and wisdom about their new West End show, Big the Musical.
Very good, very good.
And then further into the future, the sweet melodious music from the Lumineers.
Oh, this bit.
Hang on a minute.
Wow, Zoltar, he's good, isn't he?
It's not plugged in. It's not plugged in. But he also, he's acting so hard in that bit. Going, I've got to do a move, I've got to do a face, I've got lines. The line he delivers is, it's not plugged in. What are our guests but now? What are our guests but now? Oh, so
Hello and welcome to the Musical Podcast. I'm Kiri.
And I'm Jade.
And I'm Dave.
Dave's on keys. But we don't play that too much because otherwise we'll have to pay some people rights money.
Yeah. We do a live show where comedians come and sing their favourite musical theatre songs in front of a live audience. This podcast
is us bringing that person inside of a building.
Welcome to Just a Minute with Jade Adams.
I panicked.
Enjoy.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
And then they pull away the curtain to reveal Paul O'Grady on the green sofa.
Yay!
He's been doing the voice.
He was really funny, and oddly, the room gave him nothing on this. Like, the crowd, it was almost like the team had been told not to sort of enjoy what he was saying. And he was peppering it with some really funny stuff. Even, I don't get up, I get exhumed
what?
And stuff. Dead.
Dead.
Yeah. Absolutely dead. Yeah. See anyone fucking laugh, you've lost your fucking job. After my good parents crack. Laugh at this man, you're gone. Done.
Yeah. One of those weird one show things where they don't know their audience, you know, because the people watching the one show, you know, in their council flats or whatever it might be.
John.
Well, they do.
It's in their hospices.
Run by the council. So Paul O'Grady started banging on about climbing tree. He had a picture of Paul O'Grady up a tree for some reason. And then he started banging on about climbing trees, because he said, I've got a tree in my woods. A tree, I've got a tree in my woods. Matt perked up because he's got a fucking farm. Oh, he loved that.
Yeah.
Oh, I've got a tree in my woods. And then he did it again, though. He did it again when there was a film about scooters.
Yeah, electric scooters.
Electric scooters, which was fucking dull.
Yeah, terrible. Awful. Appalling. I learnt nothing.
I just wrote off the shelf shit film. Sort of sums it up. So Paul O'Grady was talking about
where you could legally ride
your scooter, wasn't it? Yeah. And then he said this, just to alienate the whole show from its audience even further.
Would you see yourself on one of
those,
Paul?
No. I wouldn't last 5 minutes, mate. I'd be an A&E. I mean, I suppose, you know, in your own grounds or your garden or whatever. Or whatever. Imagine this main road in London.
In your own ground, mate.
Jeez. He's got a show where he goes to Great Ormond Street, doesn't he? And he
gets
inspirational little kids.
Yeah.
And again, do you see a pattern here of show filler items that are difficult for us to criticise and not look like complete pricks?
Yeah.
Get Paul O'Grady and he's doing something about, oh, let's do something about kittens that are sick. Let's see them make an audience laugh with that shit.
Yeah. Well, again, I've got some... off the back of the film about the very ill children.
Yes, which we're not going to laugh at.
Absolutely not, no. But we
apart
are.
Apart from him, he's in a world of his own.
But we are going to take issue with Matt's comment afterwards. Laughter is the best medicine.
Yeah.
It's not.
Well, after Brexit, right, that's all the diabetic kids will have. Time out. We should watch a little clip. One of the kids in this.
Come out after watching 4 minutes of terminally ill children, and your takeaway being laughter is medicine. Every single person in that film devastated by grief.
Yeah.
Cheer up, love.
I've got a joke about tantrums and bear.
This time, everyone's gonna laugh.
There was a little kid in this film who sent a message to Paul O'Grady, right? And this little kid, Fazil, his name was, and he was brilliant, right? He was better than any one show presenter there's ever been.
Hey, Paul O'Grady, it's Fazil Irfan. You probably remember me from season one of Paul O'Grady's Little Heroes. I just wanted to say, first of all, I'm so excited for season two. And secondly, a tremendous thank you for being one of my biggest inspirations.
We left off last time at me doing a speech to my primary school. Now I'm in secondary school and have done another presentation to my whole tutor group.
I'd really love to meet you again sometime, and I hope season two is even better than the first one. Thanks again from me and my whole family. Bye.
What a brilliant little kid. Great. Absolutely great. Amazing.
And he also did the triumvirate, which is... closed set, walk and talk, and moving car.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
Can we talk about very quickly about the most boring film this week, the fires in the Pennines?
Well, what is there to say? So I'm really sorry. I skipped through quite a bit of it. I picked it up in little.
Oh, you missed nothing.
Yeah. Well, I suspected that.
Yeah.
So let me guess. There were some fires. Yes. It was difficult to put them out. Some wildlife died. They Correct. Put them out. Yep. Some wildlife has come back. Yep. Hurrah.
Yeah. That's it.
You need to ask them if you can do some films now.
Well, yeah, just
now I've changed my tone.
fair play to her. She nailed the Pennine Fires one.
Just the joy of showing a Pennine fire film to Matthew Kelly. Where else would you get this stuff? Yeah. It's just such a weird thing. Matthew Kelly, who is in Big, which was the sort of point of him being on the sofa. You saw him at the beginning there, when we showed a picture there. But did you see him on the sofa? Matthew Kelly, I'm going to say it now, looks fucking weird.
I was going to say he looks different, but the thing is, he doesn't look just different from Matthew Kelly. He looks different from all of you. If Santa Claus was on Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, that would be the end of the day. Yeah. Yeah, what you don't get in that picture is effectively the size he was on television. Ignore the people. Your hands like discus.
Yes.
And at one point, straight down on Kimberly Walsh's leg. You know, and you sort of go, God, the size of his hand, it's like a plate you put a turkey on. Christmas, constantly coming back to Christmas.
There was a great bit in that Pennine film as well where they're trying to rescue creatures from a swamp. And there was a bit where they sort of scooped a newt out and save it from the fire that's a year old. And he just sort of said, do you know what I've got in my net? It's a sort of amphibious looking thing that's all slimy. And I thought, they've got Matthew Kelly.
Oh, man,
it's very odd. Let's go to Thursday, because we've got 10 minutes left. Thursday is very, very important indeed, because there was a lot of things going on with accents. In Thursday's episode. So it opened, Fee, where Mel put on a very weird voice, and Matt had to do another bit of acting when he sort of had to ask her why. Let me just find the clip. There we go.
Hello, and welcome to Thursday's One Show with Matthew Baker.
And Mel Gedroych, why are you talking like that?
Well, didn't you read the paper today? Apparently, OK, a quarter of people in the capital have changed their accents to get ahead at work.
I see.
That's the truth.
What are you doing?
Have you?
Yeah.
Have you ever done that, Matthew? Have you ever done
that? Not intentionally. I don't think so. Anyway,
I wonder, Matt. Let's have a little look at Matt's first time on telly and see. Have a look at this. Please, reveal yourself to the nation.
All right, there. My name's Matt Baker.
On Blue Peter.
It looked exactly the same presenting style.
Yeah.
Nothing had changed.
But then they came back to the studio. Now, I don't know what Spirit of a Racist.
I'm getting a lot of WhatsApps. I presume they're from people in this room going, great job, guys.
There was a bit where they came back to the studio and Matt appeared to have been possessed by the spirit of a long dead racist. So, he says he can't do accents, right? But then he did racist Chinese three times. And I don't really have an explanation for it.
Bugger the explanation, do you have a sound clip
of it? Oh, God, yes. Have a listen to this.
Yes, Matt.
We are, you see. Not much has changed.
Keeping it down.
20-odd years on.
Good. Good teeth. I was going to say, very good teeth. Have you had them shaved?
I haven't had anything good at all.
Is that a thing, shaving
teeth?
I've
no idea. No, definitely not with my teeth, anyway. I should have got that straightened out if I had.
No, they're great teeth. They're lovely.
Oh. Anyway, shall we see if our guests have been affected by a trip to the capital?
Tonight we'll be joined by the Queen of the Jungle and the King of the Jungle.
And in case you missed it.
Way you said he was possessed by the ghost of a racist rather than the ghost of a Chinese man, because the Chinese man would have made you racist. When you said it's the ghost of a racist, you put an imaginary barrier between the two things, and there's a barrier. It is imaginary. It's the same thing.
So we went from there to the theft of cash machines in Northern Ireland. Did you skip through this one?
Yeah, I didn't stay. So, because I was watching them in a bit of a block by this stage, so I'm afraid.
Well, everyone zones out, that's fair to say.
It's worth saying, they went to a little Irish town where they have these ATMs, and there's a spate of people coming along in stolen diggers and smashing the ATMs out of these rural buildings and dropping them into through the roof of their own van and driving them away. And it was fucking brilliant. It was the most exciting thing I've ever seen. It was so cool. It's like smash, smash, boom, steal, gone, thrilling. And they went to a town and it was called Dungiving. And nobody made a joke about it. Not one. But they showed this. And the film itself was not... I mean, what is that film? You know, it's got to be a sort of certain amount of this is to educate you, you know, and you'll learn something. The takeaway from that film was, if you own a massive crane, make sure it's properly secured, right? That is minority public information, right? Hugely.
But even at the end of it, Matt and Mel, they felt they had to back ref it, so they just pulled something, what I call a stock back reference out, and then moved on very quickly indeed. They just simply weren't interested.
Isn't that just remarkable to see that?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Amazing.
Right, Mira, we're not going to talk about the reason you're here this evening.
Didn't give a toss. Mira Sayal was the guest on this as
Yes.
well. Yeah. You're frightened of Mira Sayal.
I'm terrified of Mira Sayal. Absolutely terrified of her. Yeah.
Did she scare you from the sofa?
Yes, she can scare me at 100 paces. Yep, just the mere reference of her now is making my heartbeat increase a little bit.
Well, she did scare Matt because she got political, right? Which is what the one show doesn't like any of that. It was a bit, you know, it's been a bit of a political week, as we know, in Great Britain. But Mira wanted to touch on it, but Matt shut it right down.
And actually, it's the perfect play for now because goodness knows we need a bit of a laugh.
Absolutely.
And isn't our life just looking like a bit of a farce right now? At least this one only ends after 2 hours. I don't know, maybe we should invite Boris along. He might pick up some tips. But anyway...
Well, noise is off, opens at the...
It is
in London on the 27th of September.
Because this week's episode was so bad, and because it seemed like, you know, when the one show is on, you forget that anything else is happening in the world. Because you're asleep. And because it's so busy, you think, well, they want to be a mirror to modern Britain. But people in the future are going to look back on this and go, so what was it like being alive? And you'd watch this and go,
what was it like?
Did nobody know? Did nobody know that there was all this stuff going on? And as I was watching it, and this happens a lot with the one show, you begin sort of thinking about other things that are more interesting. And I was thinking, I wonder what was on telly when 9/11 happened. Because obviously, when it happened, it wasn't sort of on the news. So I had a look. And because of the time difference, so the American Airlines Flight 11, when that hit the North Tower, Over here, you would have been watching Neighbours at 1:45. The episode summary was, Drew finds it hard to relax. ITV1 transmitted Crossroads until they all began going, this is a huge story. And then they cut Crossroads. Yep, it was on part one, it was the reboot. And they never put out part two of Crossroads. And I only know that because I found on a forum, someone said, this is Face of Jack. This is their recollection of 9/11. I was watching Crossroads on ITV. And in the ad break, I went to my kitchen. When I came back, it was showing the devastation. I thought my cat must have sat on the remote control. So I kept switching channels. It was on all of them. They never did show the second half of Crossroads, but I was so in shock, I didn't mind. Jazz 84 said, actually, they did the repeat and that day
CITV got bumped onto
ITV2.
Make it stop.
I mean, that is hard-hitting. You know, 9/11 was pretty devastating. And the one show aren't afraid to tackle... To tackle big questions, because Mel jumped right in.
Can I ask you, gang, all of you, what's your favourite kitchen utensil?
I'll go straight up, good old-fashioned wooden spoon.
Nice.
Potato ricer. I'd never heard of one of these until I went on the show. To make really smooth...
Potato ricer?
That was my response when I was told about this.
Thing you've never heard.
Well, yeah. I know. And I love it. I love the potato ricer.
I love a sieve, me.
Do you?
I do.
Metal or plastic mirror?
Oh, it depends on what you're sieving. Ah. Yeah. Oh, there's something really satisfying about...
It's that action, isn't it?
It's that... And you get the...
Very sick.
I love a pair of tongs in the kitchen.
Oh, they are.
When you start having tongs, I can't do a meal without them now.
Matt loves a pair of tongs in the kitchen. Well, don't we all? I mean, what?
That went on and on and on, didn't it?
I mean, that's just a bit of it. They talked about melon ballers and all sorts.
I know. But everybody was waiting for somebody to cut through with a killer end of, this is the utensil, this is the gag or something, and it just never... I mean, they're probably still there.
Well, then, brilliantly, just as a bookend of the whole thing, they then cut to a film about child vegans. The final film.
Amazing.
Where they got... A mum was just saying, I don't know what... I cook my kids, all I've got spaghetti, and I put... tomato sauce and mayonnaise in it, and that's what they eat every day.
Yeah. The problem was, she wasn't like, oh, I can't think of any vegan things. She literally could not cook. It doesn't matter if they're vegan. She could not cook. There was nothing they could have. And then a man came up at the end and went, some biscuits are accidentally vegan. Bye!
She was going on about it, and she was just saying, well, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do it. So the one show, bring in a trendy vegan chef, and he cooks them a meal out of tofu and eat all the vegan shit. And he cooks this in front of them. The mum's going, this is amazing. And he's just going, well, you just go to the supermarket, you buy this.
Go to the freefarm section, he said. You get it all.
Yeah.
And they went, like chocolate. And he went, you get that there. Yeah.
And they were very keen on, you know, this. And she's a single mum, and she's got this pasta, and, you know, that's all she's cooking. And then she just said, well, I just go down the wrong aisle. Yeah. And I thought, like at your fucking wedding.
Leave them with hope in their heart and a spring in their step.
Well, and then, brilliantly, to round it all off, what did he cook them? A vegan Chinese takeaway. And that seems like a good place to stop. That is it. This was The One Show live at the 2019 London Podcast Festival. Thanks to the festival organisers, thanks to the crew, thanks to the staff, and of course, the audience who mistakenly wandered in thinking I was George the Poet or Adam Buxton. Please tell your friends about this podcast, rate and review The One Show on iTunes, because that helps us out. But while you're remembering that, also remember this, and remember it well. When you look at the television to look at the One Show also looks back into you. Goodbye.
You heard of Great Big Owl?
Yes, they make this podcast.
Yeah, but not just this podcast.
You're shitting me. Name some others.
Well, there's Trolled.
We had Luciana Berger and Gary Lineker coming on.
Oh, yeah, and there's Crime Club.
Did you get done for that?
Yeah.
There's The Fear.
It's a kid's show. They really, really scared me.
There's Always There.
Thanks very much, because I would never have gone down Howard's way had you not asked me.
There's Friends with Friends.
Shoving a funnel in Joey's mouth and Rachel pours fat down.
And there's Ask the Nincompoops.
Kids ask us the questions they want answered.
That's for kids. We shouldn't have sworn earlier.
Bollocks.
Quick, play the sting.
Great Big Owl.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like, where are you, the police?
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.